When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi everyone, I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Radio Stakhanov, broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America. Slightly different format for this week's pod as we recap match day 5 in La Liga. That is because we are in Madrid for the World Football Summit this week. A La Liga Lowdown involved in a fantastic two-day event. So I thought I'd take the chance and do that really rare thing in this world of Uber connectivity and actually talk with real people face-to-face. It's hello to you and Tear, resident of this fair city, and hello to Alex Johnson, who has made the trip to Madrid from Galicia to attend the World Football Summit with us. Guys, are we looking forward to it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought you guys were just coming to Madrid to visit me. I didn't realise there was a summit that you actually came for, but that's okay. I think it'll be good.
What we do is we organise glamorous events and then decide that we're going to come to Madrid and visit you. That's how it works. Are you looking forward to the speakers we're going to see?
Yeah, of course. A little bit more excited to meet Ewan, but no, it's going to be real fun, and there's a lot of interesting people.
Yeah, I think the highlight, it's got to be the headline grabber, Ronaldo Nazario, of course, now majority shareholder of Real Valladolid, but plenty more besides. And of course, we'll keep you up to date with that on our Twitter feed, which is at La Liga Lowdown. Just to set the scene, we are here in a hotel having just watched Barcelona drop their first points of the season. It was a 2-2 draw at home to Girona. Having had Clément Longley sent off as well, so one of a number of red cards on match day 5 in La Liga. Lionel Messi, who else, got the opener. Then the Longley red card for use of the elbow. Christian Stuani, who else, with a double to give Girona chance of a famous victory at the Camp Nou, but then Gerard Piqué made it 2-2, and that is how it finished. What did you make of it? Were Girona good value for the point, first of all?
Well, what I made of it was I wasn't very surprised, as everyone who was tuning into the La Liga Lowdown Twitter account on Monday will have remembered I said that this was going to be a draw, because I was really impressed by Girona on Monday when they played Celta Vigo, and they're just so good on the break, and we saw that. Okay, maybe when they had 11 men in the Barcelona team, Girona didn't have much joy, but when Barcelona went down to 10, all of a sudden Girona had lots of chances on the break, took a couple of goals, and in my opinion were good value for their point.
What about super Christian Stuani, now joint leader in the Pichichi standings with Lionel Messi? Who'd have thought it?
It's incredible. He's actually scored 5 goals in the last 3 matches. 2 against Celta last time, 2 now at Camp Nou. It's just incredible.
Now then, the next time that these two sides meet, it will very possibly be at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami for the reverse fixture on the 27th of January. Let's just bring you up to date with this whole story, because last week, La Liga, Girona and Barcelona all announced that they'd written to the Spanish FA to ask permission to stage the game in the USA. Now, what have the Spanish FA said since then? Well, they've said there is a 0.0 chance of it happening, so quite low. That UEFA and FIFA are against it, as are the players' union. But Javier Tebas, president of La Liga, has hit back since to say they aren't arguments, that FIFA don't have a say, that UEFA haven't pronounced themselves on this issue, and that they are talking to the players' union. I don't think we've actually talked about this in any great depth between us, certainly not in person. How do we all genuinely, honestly feel about the potential prospect of a La Liga game being staged in the USA in 4 months' time? Ewan, first to you on this one.
Yeah, I think the thing that strikes me most about this is, so Huesca Stadium, they were the 99th stadium to host a La Liga game when Huesca debuted in the first division last week, which means that the 100th stadium will probably be Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, which I think just is, in a weird way, kind of glorious. But getting to the actual issue, I think this is something that could have been done a lot better. The idea for some people is just a non-starter. For some people, it could be a possibility, but the way I think La Liga have gone about it could have been done better. They could have, for example, spoken to the players before they announced it, which by all accounts they did not.
Okay. Alex, what's your thoughts on this? It's an incredibly thorny issue, but where do you sit?
Well, I completely dislike the idea. I think you are taking away a part of what is La Liga if you're going to play La Liga in another country and do it at a stadium like in the US. It's just because it becomes something else. It becomes a jippo about marketing advertisements. And sure, I can understand that fans in the United States would be like, but think about us. We're also fans and we also want to go to the matches. Mm. Yeah, but that's not La Liga if it's going to be played in the US, because there's so much about La Liga that is more than just the football on the pitch. It's the passion. And you're taking away maybe the most important match for the Girona supporters of the season and puts it on the other side of the globe. Mm. I don't see anything positive with it in that sense.
It's interesting, wasn't it, then they announced the sort of different compensation measures for the fans, right? The Girona fans, if you don't want to go to Miami, if you don't want to go to the camp now, if you don't want to go to either of those games, you get 40% of your season ticket back. But surely the point of buying the season ticket in the first place is to see that game at home to Barcelona, isn't it? So in any case, whether it happens or not, we will find out. So Barcelona and Real Madrid both on 13 points from 5 games. And Madrid are there because they beat Espanyol by a goal to nil. Hard-fought victory, not particularly comfortable one. And it was Marco Asensio who got the winner. It was confirmed by VAR after the referee, Mateo Laos, had originally said he was offside. But Ewan, admittedly, Espanyol made life difficult, didn't they, for Real Madrid? Borja Iglesias hit the bar as well, sort of managed to jump on Sergio Ramos and get past him and hit the bar. What do you think the Real Madrid fans can actually reasonably take from this game, apart from obviously the 3 points?
Well, I think there were two positives. One was this time when Marco Asensio shot, he actually looked at the goal and didn't try a no-look shot. That's a massive positive. Julian Lopetegui probably had something to say about that after the Roma game. But the other main thing has to be, okay, they only won 1-0 against Espanyol, a team they regularly absolutely thrash. But they did so without Marcelo, without Bale, without Toni Kroos. So if they can rest these players and still win games, that reminds me a little bit of 2 years ago when they had the B team, Zidane's B team, Plan B, and they could go out, go to a difficult away game or a difficult home game and get the 3 points. If they can do that without stars like this, then Real Madrid are definitely with a chance for the league.
What about the keeper situation? Courtois seems to be given the nod in the league. Navas in the Champions League. Is this Lopetegui's solution then?
It could be. I mean, so in 2014 and 2015, this rotating the goalkeepers thing actually worked. Casillas was the goalkeeper in the Champions League and not the league, and Real Madrid won the Champions League. And then in 2015, Ter Stegen was in the Champions League and not the league. And Barcelona won the Champions League and also the league with Claudio Bravo. So it has worked in the past. Both goalkeepers maybe not happy. We look at how those situations ended. They ended with Diego Lopez being sold by Real Madrid. They ended with Claudio Bravo being sold by Barcelona. It's a short-term solution maybe for this year, but it's no way you've got two keepers of that quality are going to be happy sharing minutes for the long term.
What about Espanyol? We were a little doubtful as to how well they might perform at the start of the season. Espanyol, Ewan said, might struggle. And they might still. It's a long old season. But what has Rubi done here, Alex? You know, Diego Lopez has come out and said the signs are good for this season. So what do you notice is different?
Well, to start off, if we're speaking about Rubi, is that I'm not that surprised that it's going well for him. He did really, really good job in Girona a few years back, where the first time that they were actually close to reaching La Liga, it was him who was behind that Girona team. Then Barcelona nicked him off Girona and put him in their training staff, and he didn't last there very long. And then from there, he's just been in this sort of circle where he's gone to the wrong club in the wrong time and things have not worked out. And right now, it just seems like he's at the right place at the right time with the right players. And he really got these players to get out of their shell a bit. And it's just been immense.
They've done well. 7 points from 5 games. And given the opposition that they've played, that's absolutely fine for Espanyol. Let's turn our attention to Atletico Madrid, whose head coach, Diego Simeone, said before their trip to Getafe that he would happily have less possession if it meant that opposition teams didn't score against his. So wish granted, 2-0 to Atleti at full time at the Coliseum Alfonso Perez. Thomas Lemar, the architect of both goals. Welcome to La Liga, Thomas. The first, a rasping shot, came back off the bar, hit the ground, hit hit David Soria's back and went in. So effectively a David Soria own goal. And the second, a smart finish from an acute angle close in. But really, it was the move itself that has really earned the plaudits. Lucas Hernandez, the man who recovered possession, gives it to Coque, who finds Felipe Luis. Griezmann gets involved, lays it off to Saúl, then Juanfran down the right-hand side, and Lemar himself also involved before it goes back the other way of the pitch, and eventually he scores. There was actually a red card in this game as well. Getafe Ivan Alejo was sent off for a stamp on Saúl. Okay, guys. So, first of all, actually you, and I want to come to you about that goal. Because that's very, very Atletico-like, isn't it?
This was very strange. This was very un-Atletico. But in a way, maybe it isn't. They had a similar goal at Mestalla in the opening game. It was a very nice passing move. And then that one that they scored against Monaco last midweek as well. I mean, that was a one-touch football. Koke into Griezmann into Costa. Maybe this is something that Atletico are adding to their game. The ability to break quickly and beautifully on the counter-attack.
But it must be such a relief, though, for Diego Simeone to get a clean sheet. Because it's only the second one in seven games. Is there an element to which they've also just got to get the basics right again and be a little bit more Atletico-esque in just their approach to games?
Yeah, I definitely think so. It feels like Atletico this season has not really been the Atletico that we are used to. They are letting in goals too easy. They are having too much possession, which in other teams sounds strange to say. But when it comes to Atletico, it's not a team that likes having the possession. They are so much better when they don't. And just in general this season, they have not looked at all like Atletico. So keeping a clean sheet is definitely something that is very important for them, maybe more than for other teams.
Well, it could well be that they've turned the corner now because, as you mentioned, Ewan, that move that led to that goal in Monaco, well, they came from behind to win 2-1. They've also won this game by 2-0 against Getafe. Now, the two teams who finished directly below Atleti in La Liga last season went head-to-head in the Valencian Community Derby on Sunday. Valencia headed to Villarreal looking for their first win of the season. A feisty, frenetic, family-related game. No, it wasn't. It was none of those. My goodness, this was Dullsville, USA. 0-0. The only real talking point, Dani Parejo's red card for a late challenge, also Marcelino getting sent off. So first of all, which of the two managers will actually be the happier with this result? What do you think, Ewan?
I think it has to be Calleja. As much as Villarreal have grown and grown over this course of the century, they are still the underdog in this derby, even when they're at home. And after a quite disappointing result against Rangers on Thursday night when they blew the lead twice, I think it was important for Villarreal, and especially for Calleja, a club which isn't known for its patience sometimes with managers, it was important to just not lose it, and they didn't.
And what about Valencia? What on earth is going on? Still no win so far this season, 5 La Liga games, 1 in the Champions League. What can you put your finger on anything, Alex?
I personally cannot. No, it doesn't look at all like the Valencia that we saw last season. I think everyone is a bit shocked. And this season, it felt like finally we're having Valencia from the start of the season in a good spot. And they can maybe actually come and be up there and challenge Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico. But that's not at all what we're seeing. We're seeing a team that is so all over the place. So yeah, don't really know what to say about it.
No, I have to say I'm clueless. I mean, I think actually one thing that I think is making a difference is Jeffrey Kondogbia's absence. I think him not being in the centre of the park alongside Parejo, they seem to understand each other's roles. So I think that might well be one of the things that is going wrong with Valencia. Actually, this was our chosen game on YouTube for Partidazo Predictions. So for those of you who don't know, every Friday we pick a weekend game and 4 of the La Liga Lowdown squad give their predictions on it in 30 seconds. This one, admittedly, one of the trickier ones. Actually, we had all three outcomes covered in our predictions. So the results are, well, quite simply, Ewan gets all the points, no one else gets any of the points. And what it means in terms of the overall table, Ewan moves on to 8 points because it's 3 points for the correct scoreline, 1 point for the correct result. Paco is on 5, Alex is on 4, Roman is on 4, and I'm on 2. It is a marathon, not a sprint, though. I am the tortoise, not the hare, so be aware. Right, that is it for part 1 of this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod. Plenty more to come in part 2. We discussed the utterly nuts game between Levante and Sevilla. Goals galore as well at Balaidos and Vallecas, and 4 best teams involved, and almost all of them got a win. We are back after the briefest of breaks. See you in a sec.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Radio Sakana, broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America with myself, David Garrido, and I have alongside me Ewan McTeer and Alex Johnson. We have covered Barca 2, Girona 2, Real Madrid 1, Espanyol 0, Getafe 0, Atletico 2, and Villarreal 0, Valencia 0. But what about the rest of the weekend just gone? Well, quite literally the steam coming off the keyboard for our very own Ewan as he covered Levante versus Sevilla for us on the Twitter feed. We are at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter, by the way. If you didn't know, we do know that both these teams have the capacity for a bit of craziness when the mood takes, and they were both up for it on Sunday. So actually, as it happened, I just boarded my flight to Madrid when this game was taking place. So when I landed, I just obviously switched off my phone, had a look at a website and saw Levante 2, Sevilla 6. Obviously, I've missed quite a lot. Ewan, you're going to get 30 seconds to try and sum this up. Go.
Okay, I don't think I can even name all the goal scorers because that would take far too long. And I've just spent a few seconds telling you that would take far too long. Basically, what you need to know from this game is that as much as Sevilla won by 4 goals, there was a crucial moment when it was 2-1 and Morales had a penalty which could have made it 2-2. It was saved, didn't make it 2-2, and Sevilla just romped away after that.
First time they've scored 6 away from home in La Liga as well. And hat-trick for Wissam Ben Yedder. Pablo Sarabia now with 8 for the campaign, I think it is. So, yeah, things looking up. And actually, 11 goals in the space of 4 days for Sevilla. 5-1 against Standard Liège at home in the Europa League. 6-2 away to Levante. Have things finally clicked now for Pablo Machin, or is there still some work to do here, Alex?
I think there's still some work to do. I think this is one of those cases, as we've seen sometimes with big teams like Barcelona, Real Madrid, when they're struggling in the league, for example, and they just lose it all and just get all of the goals that were sitting there. But I do think that Pablo Machin is in a good place at the moment, but he's not really there yet.
I'm actually going to shout out one of our followers on Twitter at this point, Somsundar Mishra, who always gets in touch with us, always likes retweets and gets involved. And he said that Carlo Ancelotti famously said, after Real Madrid had won a game by 9-1, he said, actually, I'd rather have 9 1-0 victories than this one win. I think you've made a very, very similar point there, Alex. But there were some other goal-filled, thrilling games. Only 6 of them in the next one, though. Celta drawing 3-3 with Real Valladolid. They came back from 2-0 and 3-1 down. Celta taking the lead through Iago Aspas and Maxi Gomez both scored and assisted for the other. Then Oscar Plano to narrow the deficit for Valladolid just before half-time. Aspas again opened up the 2-goal lead and Enes Unal with a 3-2 goal for the visitors. And then Leo Suarez with a 90th minute equaliser. Valladolid picking up another precious point in their battle for survival this season. Now, Alex, you said in your match preview video on Twitter that this is La Liga and anything can happen. And indeed, it did. But you also filmed Iago Aspas in the mix zone. And he told us that he felt that the equaliser for Valladolid could have come at 2-2 or at 3-3, but he just felt it was coming. But how do you explain how Celtic gave it away?
It felt like one of those matches where it feels too easy. Celta got 2 goals already after 9 minutes and it felt like this is going to be a walk in the park, but it was not. But what they did was they relaxed too much. They started to feel too much that they had it under the control. And then the second thing was that they really missed Hugo Mayo, because I think all 3 goals came from the left flank where he would have been. And instead, Nacho could pretty much do what he wants. That was one of the main things for Celta.
Mm. Yeah, one of the most dependable right-backs in La Liga, no doubt about that. Ewan, Valladolid, 3 draws, 2 defeats. How are they shaping up in their battle to stay up?
I mean, they have a great defence, and I think that's most important. Okay, they conceded 3 goals in this game, but they came into this weekend with the best defence in all of La Liga, and I think they'll probably scrape enough victories together to stay up. So, yeah, I'm confident.
Yeah, they look kind of robust, don't they? They look like they've got something about them that are going to make life difficult for a number of other teams. Okay, well, from Valladolid to another of the promoted teams, and Rayo Vallecano were back at the Campo de Fútbol de Vallecas. They probably wish they'd stayed away. The stadium passed safety tests before the game. You might remember earlier this season that their home game against Athletic Club had been postponed. But the team itself didn't pass the test posed by Alaves. In fact, they failed it miserably. Shimon Navarro with the opener, lovely flick from a free kick. Then Raul de Tomas nabbing an equaliser for Rayo. His first since joining on loan from Real Madrid on his full debut for Rayo. But an Ibai Gomez super strike, and we're getting used to them, put the visitors back in front and a man up as well. Because off the ball, it was an elbow used again by Abdoulaye Bar, and it was really quite mindless. That obviously made it much harder for Rayo. And then 3-1 to Alaves through Jonathan Cayeri, 4-1 with another smart finish from Ibai Gomez, this on the volley on his right foot. And then Burgui came off the bench to finish it off. Rayo 1, Alaves 5. Another bit of history here. It was Alaves' biggest away win in their La Liga history. Question is, what's up with Rayo? Already some big defeats. Sevilla on the opening day. And now this one. What's happening?
I think the problem for Rayo is that they've had a very Rayo-esque start to the season. So off the pitch, they've had the stadium issues that you just discussed. Their transfer business, a lot of it was really late. Raul de Tomas, you mentioned as well, has only just made his full debut. So Rayo haven't given themselves a good starting point for La Liga at all.
Alex, 3 wins on the bounce for Alaves. 10 points from 5 games. Now, Abelardo said that that means that they've got a quarter of the way towards their target. Obviously, he's talking about 40 points to stay up. But what do you think Alaves can realistically achieve this season?
I think going into the season overall, I've been very excited to see what Alaves can do this season, because we saw just what they did with Abelardo during the short time that he was there in the end of the second season, and now they have him from the start, and what can they really achieve? And I think that obviously they're probably not gonna reach Europe or win La Liga or anything like that, but I definitely think that they can quite early get pretty safe in the table and will not have to worry about going down. And I think that is their big goal as well, and it's going to be very exciting to see how they're gonna do that and just follow them this season.
Let's just round up the remaining games on match day 5 then. Eibar 1, Leganes 0. A Kike header enough for José Luis Mendilibar's side at Ipurua. Interesting Friday night game. Huesca 0, Real Sociedad 1. Mad game at the Estadio El Alcoraz. Decided in the end by a Mikel Merino goal. Really lovely goal, actually. Just kind of placed it very well with his left foot. And then Juanmi got sent off for 2 yellows in 12 seconds. Teo Hernandez was also shown red for slapping Damian Musto. Although the 9 men held on for the win, Asier Garitano does really have real selection problems now. Not just suspensions, but injuries as well. And also the game at the Benito Villamarín. Betis 2, Athletic 2. Iñaki Williams scored early, assisted by Raul Garcia, who then scored himself. Athletic 2 up, away from home inside 20 minutes. Mark Bartra got one back just after half-time. Sergio Canales with the equaliser shortly after that. 2-2, it finished. Let's just show you the top of the table. So Barcelona have 13 points from 5 games and a superior goal difference to Real Madrid, who also have 13 points from 5 games. Alaves are third, as we discussed, 10 points from 5 games. And then a trio of teams on 8 points from 5 games. So that's Celta, Atletico and Girona. And at the sharp end, Real Valladolid, third bottom with 3 points from 5 games. Rayo, a second bottom, 3 points from 4 games. And Leganés are bottom, 1 point from 5 games. As we always do, overall weekend, we ask you for your 3-word verdicts on Twitter. And these are a few of those that have come in. Rehealed has gone for red card fiesta. Yes, 7 of them in La Liga this weekend. And Audrey Ozolite goes for expect the unexpected. What about you, Alex? What do you want to go for in terms of a 3-word verdict? Because it's a bit of a peculiar one, isn't it? It's been all sorts of results this weekend.
It really has, but I'm going to go for goals like buses.
Why not? Absolutely. And you saw them yourself at Balaidos. Ewan, what's your 3-word verdict on the weekend?
I'm going to go for I-Liga. David.
Struggling there with the last one. That's okay. I don't mind. I'm just going to be quite brazenly partisan and talk about Valencia, who are the team who many of you know I support. Valencia still winless. Anyway, this mini pod being recorded on a Sunday night, as well as the World Football Summit coming up in the next few days, we have La Liga Match Day 6 kicking off on Tuesday, which means that we have 7 straight days of Spanish football to look forward to. Oh, yes, we do. Let's have a look at the fixtures then. On Tuesday night, Espanyol versus Eibar, Real Sociedad against Rayo, Atletico at home to Huesca. Interesting games on Wednesday in particular. Athletic take on Villarreal at San Mamés. Leganés welcome Barcelona to Butarque. Sevilla against Real Madrid at the Sánchez Pizjuán, and Valencia against Celta. And then on Thursday, we've got Alavés entertaining Getafe. It is Valladolid against Levante at the José Zorrilla, and Girona finish off the match day against Betis. Right, well, that pretty much rounds up this mini-pod. My thanks to you and McTeer and Alex Johnson for hanging out on the mini-pod. Nice to see your lovely faces actually in person. And if you're wondering what these two look like, well, the best way to find out is obviously to check out our YouTube channel, because they feature on it regularly. Go to youtube.com/C/LaLigaLowdown. Or if that's too much to remember, just put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. And there are also mini profiles of these two and the whole of the squad on our website as well, along with all of our content in the same place. It's www.laligalowdown.com. There is our Twitter feed as well. We've mentioned it already. Don't forget, we are at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. Plus, if you like what you're hearing, just be amazing. Give us a 5-star review on this mini pod. We really do appreciate it. We will love you forever and a day. That is your La Liga Lowdown. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.